Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. And today we're talking about the much delayed movie Mulan that was supposed to come out in the movie theater. And I guess Disney had bet big on this movie, specifically overseas. But due to the corona crisis, it has now been released on Disney Plus. In addition to the money that you would pay for your subscription to Disney Plus, you're paying an additional $30 on top of that. It's directed by Nick Caro. The writers are Rick Jaffa, Amanda Silver. And again, this is in a long line of these Disney remakes. This is another one of these live action remakes. And it stars Yifei Liu, Donnie Yen, Lee Gong, and also Jet Li makes an appearance in this movie. And Zima, who always plays a father in like a lot of movies. But the synopsis is a young Chinese maiden disguises herself as a male warrior in order to save her father. So the movie starts off in a village. And that Mulan's, at this point, is like very young. I guess maybe like probably between 8 and 10. Very independent, rambunctious. And she's chasing the chicken. She's tearing up the whole village trying to chase the chicken. And then she almost falls off the top of a building, glides down gracefully in this very wirework-ish type movie. Then what happens is that Jason Scott Lee, who plays, I guess at this point, because they're changing some of the elements of the animated movie, more or less he plays the Mongol in this movie, but he plays the bad guy and he has a beef with the Emperor, who is played by Jet Li. His father was killed by the Emperor and he wants revenge. Storm the city and avenge his father. He also has a sorceress along with him, helps him try to accomplish his goal. Another kind of the storyline that's going along with that is a very traditional thing that Mulan's, because she's independent, she's trying to fight tradition. She's supposed to be wedded to someone that she hasn't met, and she doesn't want to do that. The Emperor's army needs bodies because they're losing the war. They come to the village where Mulan lives, and Zima, who plays the father in Rush Hour. I think that's probably, for people that might not know who he is, he plays the father in Rush Hour. He's Mulan's father, and he has a handicap, but he used to be a great warrior. And he teaches Mulan, but he says, look, I'm still good. I want to fight. He takes up the charge to go fight. But then what happens is that Mulan feels sorry for her father. She runs away with her father's armor to join the army. Kind of takes off on the path of trying to fight the bad people. Let's go to Aaliyah. And Aaliyah, how did you feel about Disney's live action remake?
The fact of the matter is they tried to pawn it off. It was the Asian force, basically, is what they did.
Yeah, so they play a big part about chi. The chi with inside of you is very important. So think of the chi,
yes,
as the force.
He was basically good at everything from the very beginning. And so it was more like they were trying to get her to hide the fact that she could use the force so well. Instead of there being a real Rocky training montage. You know how in Rocky, there's always a moment where you get the training montage and you see them working out and then they suck and then they become better. Like, there needed to be that in this film because basically she was like Team Awesome from the very beginning, but was just being told to hide her chi. It was disjointed. We also had like a weird rainbow flying kite that
Phoenix.
Yes, yeah. Which really that ticked me off because the dragon was the best part of the animated film.
Yeah, so just again, this is a live action remake, so Disney has been doing different spins on a lot of these movies. So characters that might appear in the live action movie might be like a stuffed animal or something. Like, they're not actually singing and talking, but go ahead, Leah.
See, every live action they've done. Cinderella was pretty much the same. Beauty and the Beast, pretty much the same.
Correct.
I mean, they integrated some things, but this was like, they really went off book with Mulan to have something that I think they could have been proud of. Instead, it was disappointing. It was very disappointing.
All right. So, Keith, how did you feel about Mulan?
Mulan transcended all my expectations.
Yo, if you keep saying that. All right, so Keith sent the text message like, Mulan is transcendent. Huh? It's like, I need to watch this. But go ahead.
The movie was in such a way that I immediately watched the Mulan animated cartoon to kind of get that live action mess out of my brain. And that original Mulan was good. They should have taken a screen by screen, shot by shot, scene by scene take of what was done in the animated and done that for the live action. The choices they made in this made no sense. And the worst part about this is that the film was pandering to an audience, but it was pandering to like 50 different audiences.
Correct.
And it didn't need to, because the original story of Mulan was, from what I understood, it was very well received. I was looking forward to seeing a live action Mulan, kind of a serious take.
Yeah, but then kind of when some of the story stuff came out that they were eliminating some characters, splitting characters off in two characters, that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. But go ahead.
Got Donnie Yen in there because they just need to get as many big Asian stars in there to make it a hit.
Yeah,
because
Disney was planning big things about this movie. And
well, here's the worst part about it. Well, here's the worst part about it. I watched the film and I watched the original Mulan at a moment of thinking, and I came upon a thought that I think that changes to Mulan to try to sell Star Wars over in China.
Yeah. All this is just Rey again with inherent abilities that aren't explained properly. The chi is the force. The way that Rey's arc in the movie almost is similar to this one.
Exactly. That is exactly the same thing. And it's, so they're trying to sell another film by pissing on a Chinese folklore hero. Either way, it could have been a good film, a good American-made film that featured a strong Chinese female. What they did with the animated stuff, they could have done a serious take on it instead of her like realizing that the reveal of her being a woman, instead of her just like stripping off her armor and then getting a bull off perm. And riding and defeating a whole army by itself, they could have thrown some realism in it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was just like they didn't know what to do. And unfortunately, I'm just going to lay the blame on the director. You know, the director should have known that this was just going to be some terribleness. And she could have like easily derailed the whole thing, shifted gears on the project. The writing, like, again, all you had to do was take the storyboards from the original animated. It was already drawn for you. And then lay it down there and film that. That's all you had to do. You didn't have to do all this stuff. The Phoenix coming out of nowhere and just kind of floating around. And then...
Oh, yeah, that end scene with the Phoenix.
The rainbow wings.
With the wings popping out when Jet Li accepts, when the Emperor accepts. I'm just like, oh, my Lord, this is horrible.
Yeah, so for Mike, that is equivalent to Wonder that Woman. Scene in Wonder Woman. the end of Aquaman.
It was probably worse. It was worse.
It was worse. I was like, ooh, that's a Mike
Moore. Her hair was billowing out, and she was doing some roundhouse fighting crane spin kick. You know, it was terrible. It was terrible. With Jet Li looking on approvingly, be your true self. I'm like, wait, I thought he was the emperor and made the laws that said you got to die if you lie. Fast forward. Give this. My score is a 2.2.
Just a Beast Game podcast. All right. So this movie just has a lot of problems, and as Aaliyah and Keith kind of described, I think for me, it is just a run of the mill movie that I watch a lot of these types of movies. But I watch a lot of these foreign Asian inspired action movies, and this one. Is the same. It was like I've seen this movie before. You know, right now it's just Mulan, but you know, it's the wire work. It's Donnie Yen, Jet Li's in the movie. It's like, okay, person that comes from nothing, humble beginnings to be the savior of the empire. Sounds like Rey.
Yeah, I was about to say that. From what you guys are describing, it sounds like Rey.
It is. It took
me. James is transcendent. You have to watch it.
No training. No, I'm not going.
Yeah, the only difference between this and Rey, the only difference between this and Rey is that Rey has no parents, or parents kind of unknown for the greater portion of the series.
She's already a G. She's already perfect.
Well, her chi. Hold on.
She's already perfect, and she has to hide her shit.
Her chi. And yes. Metachlorian count about the same.
Oh my God.
She's wearing men's clothing. When she strips off the men's clothing and she reveals her true womanhood, that's when her power flows out. That makes it transcendent. Hold on.
But even in the beginning, when she's a child in the fields amongst the weeds, she's like doing all the major chi wire moves and running around chasing the chicken up on the rooftop. She does that super transcendent move there too. She's awesome in the beginning, and then they tell her to hide it.
And that's the part where the transcendence.
No.
Well,
that's when it, her transcendence comes out.
No. Well, let me step in for a second. So, like, this whole problem with this movie also comes down to Lee Gon's character. She plays the sorceress person. And I don't understand that relationship, but she was evil until Mulan showed her true self and then tried to help her.
And no, she wasn't evil. She was misunderstood and she was oppressed.
Yes.
Her transcendence was oppressed. So she couldn't
by the man.
By a man. A dirty one at that. Realized that Mulan was achieving what she had not been able to do, was that to have the men accept her.
All right.
That's
so,
James, that's what made it transcendent. You have to see the film for yourself.
Stop saying that. But James, what are you about to say though?
I will not see this film. Outside of horror.
There are horror elements. Hold on.
I'm going to throw horror into this too. But outside of horror, I watch a lot of kung fu flicks too. All right. It's always a training montage. Usually the hero or even the heroine has to go through some type of shit.
What happened, James, is that when people realize her power, the whole character with like Donnie Yen and I guess the guy's name like Yosun On.
Donnie Yen's in this movie?
Yeah, he's in it. Matt, you got to check him out. Like, because Donnie Yen's in it.
Yeah, Matt's like, sign me up.
Well, I wanted to watch the original Mulan.
He's like,
that way, when I watch this, I'll have a
he's better. He's like, oh, Ip Man's in this movie? Oh, snap.
I don't remember much about the original Mulan.
Original Mulan, did they got in by dressing as girls? Did the same thing happen on this movie?
No, she was dressed
as No, they walked in and. They did something. It was a bunch of fighting, and it just like, I don't know.
No, they went into that one long corridor and fought, and then they told her to go ahead and run and protect the emperor.
That was like that movie, The Great Wall. That was like that movie, The Great Wall, for me. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, really, the whole movie just flew in the face of the new movement. It was an embarrassment. Because the sorceress tells her
until
who you truly are. And she shakes off the men's clothes and shakes her hair. And all of a sudden, it looks like she came out of a salon.
Basically, flowing locks. I mean, just.
Right. Now her hair is curled and she's galloping away on her horse. I'm pissed.
But let me get into a point. So the Donnie Yen and Yeon-soo Nan character, I guess they split into two different people. There's like this whole thing between the Hong-Wi, Yeon-soo Nan character and Mulan that because Mulan's kind of playing the role of a male, they have an appreciation for each other. So they attempt to fight each other. Mulan just starts going off the force, backflipping, doing everything. And this dude's like, I can't handle the force. And then everyone's like, oh my God, like Mulan can fight.
When she decided to discard her disguise and become herself, were they in the middle of a battle?
She was in the middle of a battle with the sorceress lady.
On like an ice lake or something.
She was fighting her. All right. She discarded everything and she had her hair flowing.
Yeah, so she had on like armor, like the armor that she would go into battle with. And like she had a chest plate, a breastplate that she got hit with a dagger, like flying dagger. But
yes, but then the wrap that she had that was keeping her boobs down basically is what saved her.
Yeah. So once she shed her barrier that was keeping her back, her true self came out. And then she saw the Phoenix thing.
Oh my God.
You gotta see.
Then she gets on her horse and rides out and causes an avalanche, basically.
Yeah.
And saves the
by herself.
No, she beats up like 20 people first.
Right.
She like just starts flying some arrows. Everybody just like, sniping them.
She didn't fire a rocket in a mountain of snow.
They basically turned a trebuchet around and launched it at her. They accidentally caused an avalanche that killed themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. What do you say?
This is like the middle of the
That's the middle
climax
of the
film is when she
tries to save the Emperor.
Got the Emperor's approval, and the Phoenix Force came through her.
You said,
and then she transcended all reality.
The reason why it's so bad is because for most of the movie, the Phoenix looks like a kite that's being flown around. But then all of a sudden, it turns into these rainbow wings.
Nevertheless, all right. So just to bring the podcast back, Aaliyah, what score would you give Mulan, the live action remake?
A one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is almost going to donut land.
A one. A one because it was an abomination. Mm-hmm. It was an embarrassment to the movement. It was an insult to the culture. And the fight scenes were not even up to snuff.
Yeah, they weren't very good. Okay.
As far as what I would have expected.
I mean, Donnie Yen understands that. Wu Ping, somebody should have called him up and fix all that.
Seriously, give it a one. I would not watch this ever again.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Keith, what score would you give?
I give it a 2 because, you know, it's got Donnie Yen in it. And it's not his fault this movie failed. I mean, I'm pretty sure he saw Disney on it. He saw the potential for where this could go. And it's not his fault. I feel bad for him. And this is like the second bomb Disney movie he was in. I feel bad. But
What's his name, though?
Rogue One?
Yeah.
The only thing that saved Rogue One was Darth Vader killing everybody. That was the only thing that saved that movie from hate. It was not very good. And it wasn't the actor's fault. All the actors, the best that they could, what they got. I think that the director may have...
I think it's just inexperience.
I can't blame any one person for this, but I'm going to give this thing a 2. It was terrible. It shouldn't have been done. They should have done a scene-by-scene remake. Like, I don't understand how they did it right. They did basically a scene-by-scene remake of The Lion King, Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, and those films came out much better. Than what this was.
Okay.
I'm not going to say they were better than their animated counterparts, but I'm saying that the reimagined classics here, this did not do a good job. And I don't know whose decision was to make the changes. It should not be working for Disney ever again.
I'd just like to say that Aladdin is hot trash.
I've not seen that.
I saw Aladdin, and this was worse than Aladdin.
All right. I'm going to give this a 3.5. This movie...
Hold on. You gave it higher than anyone?
Yes.
You?
Yes. Because this movie is transcendent, James.
Oh my God. Stop.
I watch a lot of these movies. I watch a lot of Korean movies. I watch a lot of Hong Kong movies, Chinese language movies, Japanese movies. I watch this all the time. Thai movies, all this stuff. And this is just a run of the mill, just happens to be a Disney property. I keep saying this, that there's a problem with a lot of these live-action remakes. So some of them are successful. I'm not sure if anybody's seen that Mary Poppins one, but I like that movie. Saw it on a plane. And I was like, you know what? This is not that bad. The Dumbo movie was pretty bad. That one was terrible. The Aladdin movie, I don't like that movie. And that also kind of suffers from the same, we need to start bending the story a little bit to kind of fit social conditions, current social conditions. And destroying what made that movie interesting in the first place. Some of it's like relationships between characters. Some of it's just the character's arc. And this one, again, just tries to modernize the movie and then tries to give you the same movie that you have already seen before that you might have paid money for 3 times in a row, which is Star Wars, in order to do the same thing. But this one is just really underdeveloped. And Disney somehow had big goals for this movie, and it's almost 2 hours. It feels short. It feels like you're getting shortchanged, and then just the stuff going on, but all the stuff that's going on is about Mulan not being her true self. Everything else doesn't matter. Her relationship to the characters don't matter. Like, everybody could have just disappeared, and it's all could have been a dream. And I'd be like, yeah, that probably sums up this movie. So, and that's Beast Game Podcast.